very good Sunday morning to all of you who are up early. Well, we've already had breakfast, showered, and here for a very informative talk on how to set up a health fair, which is critical to our program's outreach to reach the man or woman who's still suffering. So it is my privilege to introduce Janice H.E. from Wisconsin, and I'm debating whether to tell you my one. You know, Wisconsin is the dairy state, and I have one dairy joke. So I'll tell this on Sunday morning. Janice can probably confirm this, that there's dairy farmers, if you're familiar with cows, they need to be milked twice a day. They'll come in the field and they'll do it. And that's how we get our milk, our cheese, and all this. And in Wisconsin, there's a saying, the difference between being a dairy farmer and being in jail is that if you're in jail, you don't have to milk the damn cows. So I'm not sure that has anything to do with the health fair, but a lot of times if you're at a county fair, feel free to use that line. But more importantly, Janice has 4 years and 3 months of abstinence, and it corresponds to her time in the program. So let me go ahead, and she's also a full-range sponsor, food inventory, step, and maintenance. So here's Janice.
Thank you, Tom. And thank you all for coming. This was something that became a real passion and desire for me. I came from Chicago, which was obviously a very big, large area. And when I moved to Wisconsin and was very isolated and was trying to connect and make connections, I also, because I'm in the program, I like some order and structure, because otherwise with my ADD I tend to go all over the place. So it was important for me to try and create a format of how to go out to the general public. I had in the committee, we contacted a lot of the intergroups and found that Colorado was doing was very involved in this. So we most of our information we gathered, we got from them, because they've been working on this for quite a while. There's a large intergroup, and they have their area puts on 9 health fairs. This is, you know, throughout the city at the same time. So they had to get very organized in order to get, you know, members and have a protocol for set, you know, for doing this. So we at the on the conference committee, we took all this information and created this wonderful format that anyone could do, the intergroup, you as a your own individual group or an individual person. Makes it really simple and affordable. So what we start out with is, who do you contact to find out? You can go through the Medicare agencies in the area, depending on how large you are, universities, businesses, because a lot of businesses will do their own health fairs and will contact people locally, you know, to come up and participate. And they usually don't charge anything because they're very grateful. The Internet, you can contact, check on Google the health fairs in your city, contact hospitals, and local health fair organizations such as the diabetes, cancer, and heart. Get the application and remind them that you're a nonprofit, because nonprofit status gets different benefits than those who are private. If you were like a doctor, chiropractor, or an esthetician. And to choose the health fairs that within your intergroup's budget, and they range from $25 to $200. In my small community, the hospital was holding one. It was based on for diabetes, and they were charging $25 or a donation because they had a raffle. So what I did is I went out and bought a food scale, and I made that as part of my donation, and instead of just paying them $25. And I also did one where it was the county, and the county was hosting it at a high school, and they were just grateful to have anybody come in, so I didn't have to pay anything. So then it's a matter of gathering your materials. Everybody has a handout, and it's, you have all this information there, which makes it really simple. The one thing that we had when I started, I did these, we didn't have this brochure yet, is our wonderful, do you need help with your eating? These are free, totally free. You can call them and they'll send them to you and they won't even charge you for shipping, which is wonderful. And I'm so happy and I feel that we're very blessed to have this, and I think people need to understand it, because I don't think people in the our fellowship really know the benefit of that. We can get as many as we want as long as we have a destination for, you know, take them to your doctors or use them in these type of facilities. My last one I had, I had 25, so I was really sparingly wanting to give them out. I didn't want to give them out because all I had was 25. And then, you know, have your CA Howe meeting list available. Here at my table, I have several different ones. California, very extensive. I have one from Colorado. When I was there, I happened to be very fortunate to go there in April. And when I was there, they were having their health fair, so I got to go and see how they did it, which was really nice. So they, you know, they would have their health list. Now, myself, because in my small town, I started a meeting right away, in which right now there's just still me. So I had a brochure that I had hung up. I'm trying to find it here. Here we go. So this is what I had to hand out. I just had this, which can't stop eating, you know, compulsive and I. So I had this sheet out there, which had my meeting on it and my contact. So that's what I had on my list at my table. We also suggest having business cards available. And what I was told later is that some health fairs don't like you to use business cards. So we call them in our program attraction cards, because they're not really a business. So I have some samples here of different intergroups that have created them. Some of them are very elaborate, you know, because they have more money, and some of them are very simple. Sure, Amy, thank you. Some you can go online at there's freebusinesscards.com, and they're really very, very inexpensive. They may just charge you for shipping, and you can create your own. They have some of them have templates, and they're going around, and those are nice to have. Also, not only for your health care, but to have and hand them out to people. And one of the things that I really want to stress, whatever you're handing out, make sure that you have have your contact information on any piece of paper that goes out, so that somebody can get a hold of you. One of the other things that I had available. If in my area, because I live in a small community of 454 people, to get to anything that has a little grocery store, I have to travel at least 10 to 15 miles. And that's, you know, down windy country roads. So a lot of people will not travel far unless they're really committed. In the beginning, they're not. So I also had available, I printed out, the phone bridge, and also I would make sure I write my contact name on there too, you know, my first name and my number to have on here in case. And so when people came up, if they were interested, and they, you know, that's too far, and I would encourage them to take this and to go on and just listen. So I always make sure I had that available. That was after the first one when we didn't have it. And then there's also the other brochures, you know, that we have, which, you know, we're always afraid to give out, especially because of the cost. The Welcome Newcomer, the concepts, you know, those are optional. I mean, this covers so much. Most health fairs, when you sign up, they make a sign for you. I didn't have one and I didn't bring it, but you can also make up a sign that says Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How, that you can either put down here depending on where your location at. Some of them who are in schools and they're down hallways, so you might want to hang them up behind you. And that's also an option. One of the other things which I don't have here is you can make up a visible sign that says, a table sign that says no dues, no fees, no weigh-ins. Because that's also another thing that attracts people. It's just a tent, you know, then you can get, you know, a little heavier construction paper, print it out, and then just kind of glue it on. No dues, no fees, no weigh-ins. And you can bring a metal rack or a plastic rack. Sometimes the office supplies have them for your brochures. But, you know, this is not really even necessary. You can just spread them out in front for people to take. And then, I also used an abstinent model for compulsive eaters, because a lot of members don't even know that that booklet exists, and I didn't bring the booklet with me. It looks like our question books, but it's not. And in the front page, everyone has that attached. On the, if you turn over, flip over your packets on the back, the actual front page of it. I retyped it exactly. I just reformatted it for this because I thought it was a little bit more appealing. And I thought this was great because it kind of covers exactly what our program is, because, you know, we're different than Weight Watchers, TOPS, and all that, because we deal with the spiritual component. So this kind of gives them an idea that we deal with all three areas. So I have that available on the table. And these are things that I, when people are interested and come up and we get into conversations, I have all these things that I can hand them. And as you notice on this one, I typed up my name, my CHAO.org, and my phone number. So that would be on there. Which the one thing that I really loved was this trifold poster. I picked this up at Walmart. It was very, very inexpensive. And then what I did is, this one was from our old brochure, but even in here they have our questions, and I just typed them up and I divided them up into three columns. I don't do this quickly because I don't know how to work Word and figure out all the fancy stuff, so I just kept redoing it until I got it. In large print from, you know, and then I divided them up. And then what I also did is I typed them up on plain sheets because at that time I didn't have it, but I had left this in front. So as people came by and saw this and started reading it, they go, oh, I can relate to that. I can relate to that. I can relate to that. And then, if there was more people, I told them, I said, here, you can take this with you, you know. And I just handed them this. Again, this was before I had this brochure. This was an eye catcher. It was really nice. How I did this, I had found some construction paper and I just kind of used glue to tape this on, and then, you know, taped on the sheets. It's really simple. I traveled with this in my suitcase, so it's kind of crumbly. And then I just put the top of this under black construction just to make it stand out. It's really simple. You can be as creative or not. When I went to Colorado, they had the high one, which was the big one, and they had the questions just in black and white, but they had them in squares all over. For me, with my ADD, I was kind of overwhelmed with it. You know, it was like I didn't know where to look. I need order. So this was much easier and simple for me, and it didn't kind of throw me away. And it wasn't as high. This is easier for traveling with your all your stuff. And this, it was really fun. I couldn't believe how many people came by and started asking questions about this. And I'll get into that. So I also have down here to bring a tablecloth and to decorate the table. I knew we were having a tablecloth today, so I brought one, but I didn't need to use it. My sponsor, who lives in California, brought this. because I didn't want to carry anything. But I have just a little bitty one, and you know, and just some big flowers that I stick on there just to add a little bit more color.
Thank you.
Because if you go to health fairs, you know, everybody has something that kind of draws the attention of people. And I we need to draw attention to us. I mean, and that we don't have to be embarrassed about who we are. So, and then the other thing was I have listed here is to buy paper frames for volunteers to put their pictures, the before pictures into. And I don't have one. I haven't, again, because I live in such a small town, and for me to go to a Kmart or Walmart, I don't get there that often. But it was suggested by one of the people here that you can just use, you know, those plastic things that you put your paper in, a sleeve, yeah. Oh, okay. Or depending on the size, if you have small ones or whatever, and then I didn't keep it out there, but when people came up, you know, I brought it out, you know, as before. But I imagine having the picture up there would be another shocker, or a way to people to see that there is recovery. And then giveaways. That's if you want to. When I was in Colorado, it was kind of neat. They had what they did is they picked up these little post-it notes. They must have gone to like the dollar store, and then they stuck little labels on here, compulsive eaters, anonymoushow.org, you know, on there for people to take. The inner group that I belong to in the Chicagoland area, which is the Midwest Great Lakes, we had done measuring spoons. We haven't voted on yet. Actually, these were supposed to be kind of a money raiser, but we have quite a few of them left. So I'm going to make a suggestion at our intergroup meeting to use these as giveaways because they're wonderful. But they also had bought just plain pens, and they did the same thing where they just stuck little labels around them, you know. So you can kind of use your imagination if you want. And if your intergroup is large enough, you can do something on a little bigger scale. And I recommend also having your own notebook and pad and paper so that you can take information of people's phone numbers if they want to give them. Or it was funny, you know, when we were there, it was like, oh, yeah, you forget about these things. So nice having a list to know that these are things that you may need. And then the other thing, visuals. You can always display your tools, like having your measuring cups, your scale, you know, which could include, measuring cup and food scale. Now, I guess it's depending if you really wanted to be unique, you could probably actually bring a whole bag of vegetables that would weigh, you know, and have it to show people how much food that you're actually eating, you know. I mean, it'll really blow people's minds. When I was at the One Health Fair, Tops was next to us, and they had all this fancy stuff, and they actually had a placemat with the size of, you know, the food, and we were just kind of laughing. I said, well, we get more than that, you know. They only get a half. We get more. I was with my one sponsee who I sponsored when I was out there, who moved to back to Alaska. So, but it was nice. Anyways, volunteers. You can bring a sign-up sheet to your. Now, some of this stuff is dealing with large intergroups that are you're doing a large volume of health fairs. So you would, you know, bring sign-up sheets to your meetings with on the calendar showing the actual intergroups and the days that they are, so that people can volunteer for them. I haven't gotten into this area since there's just me. It's that, you know, I probably would become really ADD with this. I mean, overwhelmed with that finite scheduling. But it's easy once you're creating schedules and having people sign up for it. But they haven't because some of the health fairs are long, so they have people scheduled for every 1 to 2 hours, and they can rotate. And it's good to have volunteers work in pairs. It's just fun because if there's more people coming, then you have, you know, two people to share the story. And it was nice because I would forget something and she would bounce up on me. So you could have a sign, again, for the volunteers, sign-up sheet, which include the healthcare site, the time slots, the name of the volunteer, email, and all that information. And the coordinator, because when you contact the hospital, whomever's having it, there's always a coordinator involved. And you will always have that information, and that information should be passed on to everyone who's volunteering so that they know who to contact for problems or any kind of information. Then you can also have an information sheet telling volunteers specifically what to do, a brief job description. The Colorado Intergroup did a wonderful job of that. Again, so you can take someone who doesn't know anything, you can give them this and they can follow it. They have what time to be there. Talk to people to share and network. I mean, hand out materials, pamphlets. People can be directed to the meeting information. I mean, it's just for people who feel they can't do anything, this will give them, oh, yeah, I can do that. Oh, I can do that. And they'll find out that it'll come very naturally. Again, this is so precise that it's not letting you get away with anything. Because you feel you can't do it. And we felt that a minimum absence requirement of 30 days is suggested for someone to work at the health fair. So they would have a little good grounding in the food. I think the newbies are so much more enthusiastic than people who've been in the program a long time because they're benefiting the results right now and they're very excited about it. So then again, how to set up a table. You come early and you sign in because you have to sign in with the coordinator at the event and set up your materials. You put the tablecloth on. He says you place your poster and brochures so that they can be seen from across the room. You place your flowers in a vase to beautify the table. You place all your materials as outlined in the gathering of materials. That you would need on the table, and you count them. You count them to make sure for inventory purposes, and make sure that the volunteers need to be seen, not like Tom behind the sign. If you're going to be sitting, you make sure you're sitting off the side, because it's real easy to hide again. And then how to present the information. Volunteers just can share their story, the before pictures. Give out brochures and print material, direct people to the meetings, the info cards and whatever your intergroup has supplied you. And then, again, closing the table, you group your brochures depending on how many you have and put them in your box and you thank the health fair coordinator and you go on to, this is for the next health fair. And then when you get home, you should recount your materials, including brochures, meeting lists, and handouts, to determine how many that you actually gave away. And then part of this is for, again, larger groups who are doing multiples, and you want to really make sure that you have enough. And I guess there's a literature chair so that they need to know what needs to be ordered for your health fair committees. Keep your meeting lists, business cards, etc. up to date because we know sometimes as things change, so you want to make sure you're giving out current information. And after you receive the literature, put it in the box ready for the next one. So what's left is the suggestions that have been used at specific health fairs, the trifold poster, creating a calendar, the bi-picture frames. These were just suggestions we listed. So that's all I have. Are there any questions? I guess the question was how long is a health fair? in a visit one or two days. The ones I've been into, which were small, they weren't even one day. They were, one was from 9 to 11. The other one I went to was from, I think, 10 to 3. And the first one I went to, which was a diabetic, you know, where we had to pay or give a donation to be raffled. They supplied lunch. Well, we brought our own lunch. And so during that break, we sat and ate our lunch, and that's when they also had their raffle. And it was basically over with at that time. But I, you know, I'm not trying to remember in Colorado. I think they're about 4 hours. They're longer because they have people doing all the blood work, and they have, you know, I mean, it's very, very extensive. I was so impressed at that. You know, they had, at the school, they had people doing testing your feet, testing your breathing. I mean, I've never been to one that was that extensive. So it's a lot longer. And they were doing the mammograms and everything over there. Yeah. Well, what we're asking is, you can do this for yourself. You know, I had mine picture, and that was one of the things that we recommended, that you can have a picture frame. You can get paper ones. Yeah, but you don't want pictures of people who are not there. Yeah. Oh, also be there. Yeah. It's really great. One of the things that I found at these, because there was a lot of nurses who were there, and they all came by, and it was really important, you know, to explain our program to them, because they're the ones that see people who may need it, and that, you know, to let them know that there is recovery and that it's free. And contacting, you know, one I was next to was a nutritionist, and one booth next to us was the chef for the schools. And, you know, it's like, you know, this is another way of networking and letting people know that you're here, you know, because, and I love these brochures now. I'm going to take them back and start, you know, passing them off to my diabetic nurse so that she has them for her at her place. And I'm going to look for a different location. I would like to invite Amy up here. Amy's from Michigan, and she has a little story to tell about her experience of being in a small town and how to spread the word. There should be back there.
Thank you very much, Janice. And my name's Amy. I'm a compulsive eater. And it's real fun to be here and talk about this because it's recent in my mind. I just went through it. And first of all, I can say that I wish I had had a list like this because my table is kind of funky. I had like an old lace tablecloth on it, and I didn't think about flowers. And, you know, I did the best I could, and I really didn't think about all the number of easy things that would have brought things vertical. You know, and so it really, I want to thank you for the work you did, because a lot of it might seem obvious when we look at it, but it wasn't obvious to me for sure, and I wish I had, but regardless, so this is great work. Thank you, Janice. It's, to me, part of watching our fellowship grow and mature, getting, you know, this kind of thing together, and thank you, Colorado Fellowship. What I really want to share more is like the emotional or spiritual experience for me of what it was, but there was a couple of practical things that I just wanted to add, which one of them might even be important to put on the list. Be prepared for weather conditions if you're in a tent, right? You know, make sure that one person, if you have a larger fellowship, make sure one person's the contact person for the organizer of the fair, not three or four people. And, you know, if you're going to be in a tent, the reason I say that, we were in a tent, and there was thunderstorms, 90-degree heat, high winds, and freezing cold all in the same day. So if you're going to be in a tent, make sure you're, you know, kind of like that you brought a raincoat or you brought, you know, at least something, because there isn't much in the way of, and of course the importance of having more than one of you so you can go to the bathroom or take care of an emergency or whatever. And our fare, by the way, was all day, but it was about 6 hours total, okay? So, all right, so now oh, and one other practical thing. I chose to take advantage of the way they publish this. You can have definitely a separate meeting sheet for your local meetings, but I didn't want anybody to lose anything. And the way these were designed was very clever. See that little spot with the pastel kind of design, graphic design at the top? It's exactly the size to put an Avery 2x2¼-inch sticker that comes with software, template, the whole nine yards for like, and you get about 300 for about $30. It's a little pricey, but it's great because all I did is type in our meeting information and ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. Now I didn't even have to, when they read this, and this is what I figured they were more inclined to keep than a flyer. And it's smaller, it's more discreet, it will go in their bag because this has the information. It's got our meeting information right there. And if you have more than one meeting, who cares if the typeface is small? The more important thing is that they're there. So those are the practical things. Now the things that I learned. I learned it was a great, great opportunity for me to reread the 11th tradition before I went and did it. It was great because I figured I wasn't really sure, you know, where I'm at with this and how do we interact with the public. So that was cool. But most of all, being there was wonderful. I was able to see some friends of mine in the program from Muskegon. There's applause. They came all the way down from Muskegon to help man the table. I don't get a chance to see them very often. So if you're in a far-flung area, it's a chance to ask for help from your membership, your fellow membership. And that's a lovely thing, because I'm not very good at accepting help. Who's not very good at accepting help? And it was really nice to have them come down and see them and be there. And it was very, very touching to watch people's body language, because, as you said, they had Tops there. They had the World's Biggest Loser. They had Weight Watchers. They had all these other things there. And people would come along the table, because they had the whole time. And then when they would read the words compulsive eaters, anonymous, you know, this is not a club we want to belong to. They kind of, and they'd be itching to take something. And the people who are with me, we really, it was fun because, you know, we can all be a little fearful talking to strangers. And we had to really reach out to people and talk to them. It also struck me how many conversations we got into with people who were deeply concerned about family members. I mean, really deeply concerned. And I noticed our program, as opposed to the World's Biggest Losers and stuff, was very attractive to people. The seriousness, our approach, our material, it was very dignified, and they were very, very, you know, it's interesting, I must be our loved ones, see that the problem isn't exactly food. They can see we got a few screws loose, right? So I had a lot of people stop and read this, and it was their family members that they were so concerned about. The number one thing I wish I would have done is this, and since we're being recorded, I'm referring to the Are You a Compulsive Eater questions on a stand-up large format that can be read from a distance, because when I saw the behavior, the body language of people where they were so terrified to even approach a table that said compulsive eating, I think that would have been an excellent, excellent thing. And I think that's pretty much it. It was a lot of fun to do. I've been involved a couple years ago in Colorado in this one. Oh, I wanted to tell you how it came about. That's right. That's what you wanted me to do that. I'll take a few minutes. You know, you can, all the suggestions on this for calling, they're now suggestions I'm going to take for more formal ways you can find out about health fairs. But it also can fall into your lap like it did for me. I was teaching yoga and I had a yoga student, and we became very kind of good friends. And she said, well, you must have, you know, you were in such great shape, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I always tell anybody privately, that is not from yoga. I would have been a fat yoga person, okay? I was a fat figure skater. That was another thing I tried. Now, and that's not a pretty sight, a fat figure skater. Filled with bruises from top to bottom, right? And they said, well, then what happened? And I always make sure I said distinctly, you know, let me take my yoga teacher hat off. And then I told her about this, and she said, well, what's your story? And she said, do you mind if I see the health, the food plan? And I said, well, what would be the purpose? She said, because I'm an registered nurse, and I work for the largest employer, and I kind of make sure it doesn't sound insane. And I said, no, under that context, here you go. She looked at it briefly, and she said, would you like to be a part of a health fair? Would you like to supply our buildings with brochures? Now, this is the largest employer in my area, okay? And in this little one-horse town, it is, besides the power companies, the only employer, really, in the hospital. So I wrote to our World Service office. They sent me 300, which I thought was so cool. This is the best part of the story, right? I bring her the 300. She said, what am I going to do with this? I said, well, this is for your building. She said, I got 14 buildings. This many of your brochures is like 100. And I then wrote back, and I was astonished that I asked them for 1,400 brochures, and it took me 2 weeks to stick them all. And they're going out. She's out of town, but they're going out in 2 weeks. And given the potty language and how we remember our own shame, I have a feeling that a lot of those brochures are going to make their way into the handbags and pockets of men and women who will quietly take a brochure if nobody's looking in the building rather than approach a table. So you don't, it's not so much what happens at the health fair, it's what it could lead to. And that, I guess I'm, you know, I'm glad that I remembered to tell you about how this fell into my lap, because sometimes I also have ADD, ADD team, right? It seems too daunting for me to call and find out who's in charge or something, because now I realize that isn't that daunting. But you never know who you talk to. As long as you're willing to share your story, you know, that's all she wanted to hear. It was my story. I told her like a 10-minute lead, you know, how I ate all my life, and I was a fat bulimic. I threw up 5 times a day, and I was still overweight. I tried everything, and how I got recovery. People are interested when they hear that, you know. And of course, I did remember to bring a picture. That is very important. And she just offered this to me, and so I certainly hope that next year I'll be standing here, and there'll be 6 members of my. And that's what me and Janice want, you know. And there's more motivated, because if you're in a far-flung community, it's really, you know, the mathematical probability. All we do have to do is catch one fish, and if all their friends see them lose weight, you know, that's what how this works, as you know. So thank you, Janice, for your work. It was amazing.
Yes. Amy did. She just, this has just happened. Yes. Well, when I did mine, I didn't really have these. So I, you know, I was using most of the papers, you know. Yeah. Well, again, in my community, because it's so small, and even in my little town, most of the we have a lot of seniors, but you know, and the the question was, what was the ratio for the amount of flyers and brochures that went out to people coming in? And currently, for me, I haven't. There hasn't been, but. My purpose, you know, for me, the success was getting the message out and, you know, giving this information to especially the health professionals, you know, these nurses who are going to be seeing their patients. You know, I've had some other things happening in my life to where I haven't followed up with a lot of things. I'm more motivated now since I came back to the retreat and to the convention here and the conference to go back. And my location for where I have my meeting is not an ideal location for the areas that I went to for the health fair. So it's, you know, people didn't want to go there. I know Amy and I had been talking about this because she's changed her place where she's had her meeting and she's getting a more convenient location that's more approachable for people to come to, and that's one of the goals that I'm going to do. But I keep thinking of just spreading the seeds, you know, and that the more people know that we're there. I had gotten a phone call a couple of weeks ago from someone who was looking for an OA meeting, which there isn't any, and I had mine listed in the paper, and so she called me and wanted to know the difference. I had to call her back, and then she told me she was going in for surgery, and I haven't heard from her. That was 2 weeks ago, so I'm going to give her a call. And even still, she was where my location was still, I think, 25 or close to 50 miles away, so she wasn't. But you know, once people are committed and they're, you know, they're dedicated, they'll go anywhere. Right. The question was about keeping count of how many people may contact you. And I'm sure you're probably you could get more response, but, you know, I felt it was very successful because of the people that took information. You know, just the fact that they took information and people said, well, yeah, I can relate to that. No, I have a relative, you know, they're concerned about. And I know how it was for me in my disease, you know, the isolation. And that's why I really kind of pushed the bridge meetings. I said, you know, you can call. You know, I just call on the weekends. You know, in my community, a lot of people don't have long distance phone calls. They don't have computers. They don't have cell phones. Yeah, you know, so it can be really it's really difficult. You know, living in Wisconsin, the dairy state. Meat and potatoes, their vegetables are corn and peas. You know, this is what they eat. So it's been a hard transition for me. I was very fortunate when I had the one woman come to me, and she was from our sister group and had been in their program for over a year and was abstaining from flour and sugar but still gained weight because they didn't do any portion sizing. So she got abstinent in my program, and she comes back every summer because her mother's here, and I'm going to be seeing her in August. And hopefully in another year or two, she's moving back. So I can't wait to have. But in the meantime, I plan on doing more of these and making. I haven't really done any more outreaches in terms of trying to connect, but. But I know that this is a, now that we have all this available, you're a doctor. I mean, you know, you go to your doctor's office, the library. You know, I'm planning on taking some of these. I have a stack here. You know, some people can take with you, but you can put them where, which I hadn't done. And I love your suggestion about putting the meeting on the back, especially for someone in a small town who just has one meeting, or even your own contact name. Because if you don't have a meeting, then you, if someone's interested, you'll create a meeting there, you know, for them. Yes. You're talking about this, or are you talking about the brochure? Okay. It was mentioned from someone in the audience about putting the "Are You a Compulsive Eater?" questions on a piece of paper. And I think if you go to the WSO website and you go to the PI section, they have examples of that, because I've seen that. And then at the bottom, you can put your your phone number on clip off, so people can just rip it off too. So there's a lot of information on our website, and unfortunately, a lot of people just don't go to the website. And so as an intergroup chair, I used to encourage our intergroup to download these and print them out and take them to the meetings so that people would have them. So, but yeah, it's all, we have so much information available to us, but, you know, we need to make, yes, another question. The question was, people coming to the table and wanting to lose weight, we in our fellowship understand that it's a spiritual program, and how do we, you know, keep them engaged without turning them away with that, our, what we know is what works for us is a spiritual. I had mentioned earlier about the abstinent model, and one of the things that I really push and focus on is the we aspect of it. You know, Weight Watchers, you know, because that's where I started years ago, and I liked it because there was an accountability. But I had nobody to call on a daily basis, or a weekly basis, you know, and they didn't care if I lied, you know. And what I really focus on is the fact that, you know, they have a cheerleader who they are calling on a daily basis, who is there for them, and the fact that, you know, they have meetings that they can go to or listen to on the bridge phone of other people who know the pain and suffering that they're going into. I mean, I get right down to the isolation. I mean, I says, you know, we're isolators. They go, yeah, you know, and everybody says, yeah. I says, and we get depressed. I says, and we don't want to talk to anybody. And so that's where I really encourage, you know, the bridge meetings, just to listen, and that there is help. So I really focus on the we, because this program is about we. It's not I. And that nobody is, there's no dues or fees. So, you know, and these people are doing it because they care. They care about you, because their abstinence is based on helping others and spreading this word. So that's where I really focus on, because that's what I need. I mean, I'm out there, I'm doing, I says, I'm here because I need to be with people who are like me. Yes. Right. I wouldn't do that. You know, if they're interested in doing that, they can. The question was about the phone bridge contact list, because I hand out the phone bridge meeting list. If we should hand that out, and I don't think that is appropriate. If people want to, they have me. I give them my contact. If they want to talk to someone, but you know the phone bridge, I had to go in to. I had some numbness in my arm, and I went to this doctor who did these tests, which were extremely painful. And I was talking to the nurse, and we started talking about the program. And I gave her the phone bridge number to call in because, you know, she was having an issue. And you know, I gave her my information and that, you know, and that's all I can keep doing, you know. And let people respond to that. Yes, Amy.
Hi, Mimi. And if you could just indulge me, I thought one question was so important, I just wanted to elaborate a little on my experience having been in a health fair. The question I thought was so important to throw my two cents in on was about where do you meet people spiritually? We all know that we came to this program for physical recovery, and that's a very, very important question, because they're walking up, and you're at this health fair, and it's like the world's biggest loser and tops and take off pounds, blah, 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 blah. And I think the big book is the best advice I've ever seen. I reread that before I did the health fair. And I noticed that the two people, my two fellow members were sort of, we all did the same thing. The big book suggests in working with others that we sort of meet people where they are. Like say, like they may want you to mostly talk about your recovery or they may want to share with you. So I let them kind of lead the way. And you're right. The big book warns about coming off like a holy roller, okay? So I did not stress that so much until the conversation had deepened a little bit more. And I think a very important point was made about using a model for compulsive eating. One woman did, in fact, start a conversation that I know I'm an emotional eater. So that was clear that there was some awareness on that particular person's part. But I kind of let them sort of show me where they were at, and working with others has a great role model for sort of being a good listener and seeing where they're at. So I just wanted to throw that in there.
Thanks, Amy. And also when people approach you, you can see the pain that you're in, and you know when I would start talking to them, I'd bring up things like that. I know I'm an isolator, and you know that I could see them eyes. Acknowledging that this is what they do. I says, and I get depressed. I says, and then I keep eating. I says, and who wants to talk to somebody, you know, when you're that, you know? And, you know, so I would, you know, share those experiences with these people, and they would resonate. And then I would, you know, just give them. So I'm hoping that, you know, that they keep this. I would like to also, one of the things you can do is in the small towns, community announcements. So you can, if you're going to do open a meeting, you can have a big article about a community announcement and ask them just to put your first name and phone number on, you know, and talk about explain about your program a little bit. So I mean that's something you can do also, and it's not breaking our traditions because we're not talking about us. We're talking about the principles of our program. And letting people know, so and that's always been a controversy, but we can do that. And one of the things I would like to do is the PI committee is going to be working on a format for a general information meeting, so that you can invite healthcare professionals, post these up in anywhere that you're going to have this meeting, and have it a general meeting. To explain our program to the general public. So I'm looking forward to that because that way you can schedule, you can actually schedule it in your library, you can go to different, I mean, I imagine you can do it at church groups. I know we're not affiliated, but it's just about being general. I mean, wherever someone will let you speak. You could offer that as an invitation to explain our program. So if there's any other questions? Right, the public the WSO Public Information Committee this year, one of their projects is to create a format, you know, it'll be on this order, of how to hold a general information meeting to the public, you know, because this is the area that we've really lacked. We didn't know how to get out. We don't know how to get out. So we're trying to, you know, make it simple and easy and something for us to follow. You know, maybe at this point in explaining about a little about, you know, our history, I'm not sure how it's going to flow. Sure.
I'm Janann from Oklahoma, and it's been discouraging to us in Oklahoma that it's difficult to get the message out. But I was just thinking that we never know when a seed will take root. And I had not heard about CHOW. I'm 64 years old. And I had not even heard the word Compulsive Eaters Anonymous and knew nothing about the organization, even though I considered myself well-versed on all kinds of dieting plans, etc., until 2008. And I found out accidentally from someone who was in OA and said, well, there's a meeting in Norman called CHOW. I had never heard of it. And I keep thinking that these little seeds, and then it took me several months before I acted on it after that. So I'm hoping that these little seeds that we plant will eventually grow into an individual who needs help, like happened to me. And we started a new meeting in one of the large churches in Norman. We thought, what a perfect place. They had free child care at that time of day. We have not seen a single member of that church come into our program. We've had one person stick their toe in the water and left before the meeting was even over. And I keep thinking, just seeds, just we're planting seeds. One thing the church let us do was they have a television monitor with announcements on it, and they let us put these questions that would rotate on that so that people could see this question as they're looking at announcements and things. And I think that's cool. I still haven't seen anyone from the church show up. So now we're looking at maybe changing the time. We're going to make some adjustments perhaps. But this has been extremely helpful and encouraging. Jill already looked up on her iPhone when there are any health fairs in our area, and we're going to act on it. Thank you for your service. And can I have one of these? And I'll take it back to our group and suggest it as this is the spoon she's giving me.
Thank you, Jane. Any other questions? Yes.
Do we have to wait for the next convention for that article to be approved? That's a question and a little comment that I have, if I may, about the response that we get when we distribute papers out. I have put flyers in several places, and I have found that people call me, and sometimes they might show to the face-to-face meeting. Sometimes they come and then don't come again for 6 months or so. So my idea is that I never know, and I don't think any one of us ever knows when they are going to be ready for the program. But nevertheless, the seed has been planted, and you know, obviously, whenever they come, they are welcome. If it's the next month or the next year, and sometimes they just choose to give that information to neighbors or family members. So to me, it's a win-win situation, even if I don't see the numbers in the physical meeting. Thank you.
So your question was about this format, if this format was going to be? Oh, they're going to be working on it this next year. What could happen is that if they have it developed, then someone from the group may be doing what I'm doing this year at the convention next year. and actually, you know, have the format being explained and hopefully, you know, how to do it. That's just an idea. We have someone in that committee. I'm just kind of putting that information in her ear. but yeah, it'll. And the other thing is that we were going to have this format presented to the board to be approved, but there's talk is that all of the meetings that are workshops that are here today, everyone had handouts. And the website committee is going to find out if all these handouts would be available on the website. You know, since we have all the workshops will be downloadable, that we have the handouts. And this is something, so like this will be on there. And then if they do this next year for the other format, that would be also available. Yes.
Hi, I'm Susan, a compulsive eater. Hello. I just wanted you to know that I knew about this program for 4.5 years before I stepped into the rooms, and I had to, somebody would say, do you think you want to join our group? And I was repulsed physically by the thought of having to join a group that